Welcome to Charmaine Wilson, the Australian Medium Podcast.
Good morning and welcome to my podcast, which we will be doing on Sundays from now on. And again, I apologise for my irregularity, but I did tell you when I had my surgery that I might have some problems with fatigue and I might not feel up to it. And yes, I've had problems with fatigue. So a lot of problems actually, but you know, I suppose basically I had two major surgeries at once. So what do I expect? But anyway, I am back today, and today I want to talk about a subject that really, really type of confuses a lot of people, makes them feel guilty, and I want to talk about it on both aspects, both with the spirit and both with you guys. Okay, and what I'm going to talk about today is palliative care, or hospice, if you like. Now, I think that there's a few people out there that don't understand what hospice is actually for. You can be in palliative care for a while when you are really, really sick and you can't look after yourself. But if you get sent to hospice, or if your person has been sent to hospice, it means that they are actively dying. Now, what that means is that everything in their body is starting to shut down. Whatever illness, whatever age, whatever it is that has decreased their life force has now taken a hold of their body, and no further action will avail. Okay? So just as long as you understand that, if your person has gone to hospice, that means that the doctors don't have any other solutions. Okay? So just keep that in your head, all right? A lot of people get very upset when in the hospice that their people are administered morphine. And many people are convinced that the morphine either it speeds up the process and it takes away opportunities. But let's be honest. And in my case, I can only be honest in the four cases that I've known of. One was my mother, one was my mother-in-law, one was my stepfather, and one was my grandfather. In all cases, they all went to hospice. My mother was only 63, my stepfather 65, my grandfather 65, my mother-in-law 94. My mother and grandfather, father and son, had the same situation with the lungs. So basically, as they died, they could no longer breathe. It didn't matter. Every single drug had been used on their lungs. All of the steroids that they could shove into them had been shoved into them. All of the antibiotics that had been shoved into them had been shoved into them and were no longer working. This is not just the case for my mother and grandfather, but also my mother-in-law and my stepfather. My stepfather's stuff was self-inflicted. He smoked and drank and basically destroyed his liver. So with him, he went into liver failure and he had to be administered morphine for that. Okay? So in all of these cases, now, a lot of people say it speeds up, and I don't know about that. I think it depends on how bad the body is. Could the process be sped up just a little bit? Yes, but why should that concern you? Why should you be saying, oh my gosh, I could have got another 2 days had they not given them morphine, when in reality, you could have had another 2 days when they were healthy and full of life. But to watch them sit there just for two more days and watch them sleep in pain because you don't believe in morphine is pretty cruel, okay? The dose that they give morphine is very low. In fact, I was administered more morphine after my surgery, which I couldn't have because I have a reaction to morphine. So I just did a lot of vomiting. But they gave me more morphine after surgery than they gave my mother when she was dying. However, because my mother was so unwell, it only took 48 hours after she started the morphine until she passed away. But before that, she was having an asthma attack every half an hour. And as I said, nothing worked anymore. None of the drugs, none of the antibiotics. She was buggered. And she shouldn't have been buggered at 63, but she was because she had bad lungs. Now, I was the one who had to sign for that extra morphine, and I did willingly against my stepfather and brother's wishes. because I wasn't going to watch her suffer for one more minute. Same with my grandfather, exactly the same, just 2 years different age. And my mother-in-law, she had something called sarcoidosis, which I don't know a lot about, but it is a disease that attacks the lungs and it basically resists all antibiotics, all steroids, et cetera, et cetera. So she was in the same spot. Now, she took a little bit longer to leave the earth after she was administered the morphine. She took about a week, which actually alarmed me because I felt like that they were dragging it out a bit and perhaps the doses weren't high enough or something. That's where I was. So I just want you guys to know that if your person is in hospice, that means that then no more action will prevail. No more steroids, no more antibiotics, no more medications. None of that's going to prevail. Now, if you've already been in this situation and you feel like that for some reason the hospital did the wrong thing against your person, okay, or the hospice or whichever, then you should take the proper actions instead of, you see, a lot of people, they get angry about something. They assume something. And I find that a lot of people with hospice assume that the nurses have taken away their person early and that they are cruel biatches and that they really, and their person needed to live, right? That's what a lot of people assume because a lot of you guys haven't actually researched hospice and what it means, okay? So you get really angry about the nurses and the doctors and then you go on for the rest of your life blaming the nurses and the doctors. But it's very rare that I see people take action. It's very rare that if you really genuinely feel that the hospital or nurses did wrong by your person or the doctors, you need to complain about it right then and there before a year has gone past or 6 months or 6 weeks. You need to take action. If you are really that certain, let me tell you what happens when the body dies. Number one, they don't want to eat. They don't want to eat. You lose your appetite because you don't need energy when your body, your life force is leaving you. They don't want to drink. Their body starts to shut down and their kidneys. Once their kidneys start shutting down, they're buggered. There is a lot of pain when the kidneys and the liver and major organs start to shut down. And morphine helps ease and relax that pain. It makes the person that's receiving the morphine drift off into wonderland and just relax. You will find if you are in this situation that if you touch your person that they will flinch because everything's hurting right about now. Their muscles, their major organs, everything is hurting, okay? So if you love your person and you honestly and you don't want to see them in pain, don't be scared of the hospice situation, all right? How do spirits feel about it? Well, I know for a fact that my mum and my grandfather both requested morphine because they couldn't go on anymore. It was too hard. It was too hard. They couldn't walk. They couldn't talk. They couldn't. Mum couldn't talk. She couldn't. She was talking like this all the time. She lost her voice because she couldn't breathe. All of her tubes were clogged up. Now, that's another thing too, guys. If you really want to know what your person was going through, ask somebody, what is happening to my mum now? I know she's dying, but what organs would be shutting down? How would she be feeling? So many people don't ask, and it's maddening. So if you find yourself in this situation in the future, do yourself a favour and make sure you are fully researched before you jump the gun and get angry at people because you think that they're killing your person. They're not. They're stopping them from screaming out in pain because their major organs are shutting down. So just remember that. Now, spirits don't ever, I don't think I've ever had a spirit come back and say, the doctors poisoned me. The doctors took away my life. I've never ever heard that before. I've never had a spirit come back. Most spirits, if they talk about their illness at the end, are relieved to be out of the body. They are so relieved to be away from all that pain. You see, because the body is physical and the spirit is non-physical, when the non-physical part of the body leaves, what they feel is relief. They feel a lightness. They don't have this heavy, aching, painful body anymore. So when they are relieved of that, they have a freedom. They can move again. They don't have any pain. And even though they don't have lungs or eyes or ears anymore, they can hear, see, and feel the wondrous world they have just entered. So while you're there like going off your nana at the doctors, they're going, thank, that was over. Thank goodness I'm out of that body. And thank goodness my people allowed me to have that peace, like with that. So guys, you know, I just get so many people getting so angry because they feel like that their person who was in hospice should have stayed a little bit longer, that they shouldn't have been so out of it. Do you really, do people, I just don't know, like, would you really want someone you love to be in that much pain willingly? You willingly want to see that just so you can have that last conversation? Here's a bit of a tip. You are going to lose your parents if you haven't lost them already. And you are going to lose your grandparents if you haven't lost them already. Make that time now. Don't wait until the deathbed to say all the last things, to spend the time. Make that time now. Ask the questions you want to ask. Find out the things you want to find. Don't start crying about it when you're done because you didn't take the time. It's up to you to take the time when your people are still alive to get whatever you need out of their relationship, whether it's a good laugh, whether it's comfort, whatever it is that that relationship gives you. You should do it when they're still healthy, not when they're on their sick bed. But if for some reason you've lived in a different country or something and now you are confined to the sick bed and you've come home because one of your parents or grandparents is passing and now they're just a shell, I find that people that do that scream the loudest about the morphine because they haven't taken the damn time. So just remember that. If you feel like you want more time with your people, take that time. Take that time now. Take that time when they're breathing, happy, eating, drinking, holidaying, getting their hair done while they're still alive on this earth. Because honestly, you know, there is no sense, you know, there's no sense regretting anything in your life. And if you can't get to your person because they are far away, call, talk on the phone. Don't text, don't email. Talk on the phone. Do Zoom, whichever. But honestly, if you prepare yourself now for when your parents or grandparents are going to leave, when that time happens, if you have a very satisfactory relationship with them, if you reckon you've spoken every word you can speak and you've heard every story you want to hear, then your grief will be so much easier. It will be you'll grieve and you'll miss them, but you will know that no stone was left unturned, that your relationship was amazing and that your bond is so strong that you know you're going to meet again. And you're probably the people who get more signs too, just quietly. I'm just letting you know. But I'm going to leave that with you today, just some food for thought. And because so many people get so upset about this palliative hospice thing, honestly, it's really the most humane way for them to go if they are in the situation where no further medical help will help them, okay? So you guys have a good day. I hope that helps some people out there or gives you some food, something to think about for the future. Get those relationships cemented now that you want cemented. If you've been thinking I haven't seen mum or grandpa or whoever a little bit lately, go and see him. He'll do you good. And they're going to love it, trust me. Your mummy, if you just turn up unexpectedly, she'd go, oh, my God, what are you doing here? I love you. As mothers, we never get over our babies. Okay, you have a wonderful, wonderful day.
She talks to angels. Oops, angels. You'll come back now.